88.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1, Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1, Mission Viejo. A service of California State University, Northridge, and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at 88.5FM.org. It's the independent 88.5 FM's Artist in Residence. Curated DJ sets from an 88.5 FM artist every Saturday at 6 with a new artist residency every month.
Hi, we're Lucius, and we're doing a DJ residency on the independent 88.5 FM every Saturday at 6 p.m. this month. We're playing songs we love and sharing stories of our favorite music by our favorite artists with you. This show will be focusing in on the world of disco and stories of that era. We've got a legendary artist on the show with us today, none other than our old boss, dear friend, Uncle Raj, the writer and creator of Pink Floyd, Roger Waters.
No, I just think I had a heart attack then. It was the word disco that did it.
To start off the hour, we are going to play first from our new record, Second Nature. Here's Next to Normal on the independent 88.5 FM.
Yourself. I thought that I was off. I was just mistaken. A dog hit me back. Too good, good bullshit. I'm in a $5 first class traveling sector. I think got me to live yet.
FM. You just heard Pink Floyd's Money, and it's without further ado that we introduce our dear friend Roger Waters. Roger, So, as we mentioned, the theme of this radio show we've been playing with is disco.
I'll tell you this. I'm happy to say that, you know, John Revolting and all that, and the what are their faces? Mm-hmm. Massachusetts and all of that. Though, to give them their due, who were they called? One of them had funny teeth.
Bee Gees.
One always wore a hat because he was bald. And and one was a bit daft and had a beard. Barry Gibb. I'm talking about the Gibb brothers now. Mm-hmm. Who I have to say, I think, were very talented. I mean, their harmonies were amazing. I'm sure you do too, because mm-hmm. they're absolutely amazing. My friend Andy Fairweather-Lowe, who is a great musician himself, and also a very, 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 very good tennis player, played for Wales for the over 65s. Andy, I miss you almost as much as I miss the Canaries, my son. But more of that later. Anyway, because he's such a good tennis player, sometimes superstar-y people with one funny hair, like Barry Gibb, get Andy to go around there to play tennis, you see. And he did that one day. And they're playing tennis on the tennis court in Barry Gibb's back garden, which backs onto some sort of a canal. You know, in Florida, they have these mini Venices everywhere, particularly in Miami. And this bloody pleasure boat goes by with people on it, all drinking and laughing and having fun. And suddenly, it's got a speaker system and it opens up. And it goes, and there is the house of Barry Gibb, the famous singer, and there is Barry playing tennis now with one of his guests. Stops playing tennis and sort of rushes to the edge of the court and kind of primps and preems and waves.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that fabulous?
Yeah. The reason why we're doing this disco radio show is because we were kind of influenced by a lot of disco and dance music for our new record. And
being stuck inside for a while will inspire you to want to move.
Yes. And after discussing it a little bit on our previous show, we were realizing that a lot of the disco, the driving force, as with most music, but especially in disco, is the bass. And the bass kind of gets the okay to drive a little bit more than in other things. I mean,
it takes a more prominent role melodically, too. I mean, the bass lines in a lot of disco tunes are quite inventive and frilly, even. Would you be so kind as to introduce a Bee Gees song of your choice to our listeners at home?
The only one I can think of is Staying Alive.
Okay, just...
Only because I nearly had a heart attack at the very beginning when we... And I managed to stave it off. And I made the joke at the time that that was my version of Staying Alive, which it is.
Thank you.
you're listening to the Bee Gees Staying Alive right here on 88.5 FM, The Independent.
I do think that disco is extremely dangerous. I never went to a disco, obviously. Mm-hmm. I can't stand that. Because of the mind-numbing bit that goes with it. I'm sure all that exercise.
But okay, so is that what disco is to you? Thud, 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 thud.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, it is. But the most important thing about it to me, which is why the word disco was very difficult for me to even utter for about 30 years, mm-hmm. was the mind-numbing nature of that then. Mm. I've got nothing against people dancing.
Right. Okay, but what about, some people think of that mind-numbing quality as, a hypnotic trance-like thing. Mm-hmm. People can dance the night away because there is this, constancy in the music, and there's something to be said for that.
Mm. Well, maybe. I mean, you may be right, to be serious, just for one second, that's over. No, it's not over. I was kidding. That was a joke, I'm afraid, even my serious note.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know quite what to say about that. I mean, obviously, if we were to be serious about trances and whirling dervishes and transcendental moments and foreign religions and blah and blah and blah and all of that, we could. But when you observe trance sort of music within the context of an event that could be called disco,
mm-hmm.
it conjures up yet another of the influences that Huxley might have described in A Brave New World to dumb down and numb down the workers so that they don't run amok, and take over the cotton mills and go, hang on a minute, this isn't right. Mm. But I could be completely wrong about all of that. I've no idea. I haven't been to Ibiza since 1968, so how could I know, what does or doesn't happen when people or even old people gather together in rooms with terrible acoustics and empty their minds to repetitive drum rhythms and inventive bass playing, as you so rightly point out.
Mm.
At the fingertip wizardry of people who call themselves disc jockeys and apparently make fortunes out of doing this stuff. I mean, I wouldn't go near such a place.
Yeah.
My life depended on it, which thank God it doesn't.
But you did. You were making music in the same era, right? So, I mean, what was your take on it at the time? Do you think?
When was it? The 80s?
70s?
70s.
70s, okay. Well, I was making The Wall and Dark Side of the Moon and Wish You Were Here and writing Animals. And I was engaged then, as I am now, in my preoccupations, which are love, my fellow human beings, politics, the world is, my hatred of neoliberal capitalistic economics, my disdain and disgust for Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan and everybody who came before them and came after them in that particular boat. So something like music that people dance to with a repetitive beat sort of didn't appear on my horizon, except as a vague irritant. So even though I might like the harmonies in Massachusetts or not Staying Alive, I don't know why I said that, but for instance, Massachusetts is a good example because they're beautiful harmonies and they sing really, really well together, presumably because they were brothers and they did it for years and years and years and they got really, really good at it.
Yeah.
And they did real facility for it, but mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm easy. That is hours and hours and hours of working together to make something really good. And it was really good, and it is really good.
Well, let's listen to that song. That's Massachusetts by the Bee Gees, right here on the Independent 88.5 FM.
Something's telling me I must go home.
FM. 88.5 FM is listener supported, so if you like what you hear, please donate it at 885fm.org. That's 885fm.org. We're going to take a moment to thank some supporters, but we'll be back with Got to Give It Up by Marvin Gaye.
Corporate radio will be the death of radio if we don't fight back. Become a sustaining member today at 885fm.org.
Support for 88.5 FM is made possible by Subaru of Glendale. The Subaru Forester and Outback are ready for your New Year adventure. At the core of Subaru of Glendale's business is their focus on caring for customers, employees, and the community. In the service department, factory-trained technicians use specialized tools and genuine Subaru parts. On Brand Boulevard, just off the 5 and 134 freeways. More information available at SubaruofGlendale.com. That's SubaruofGlendale.com.
Support for 88.5 FM comes from Rasta Taco. Rasta Taco provides on-site, made-order catering services at private homes, offices, and weddings. Catering a reggae-inspired menu throughout California, Rasta Taco provides items such as Caribbean carne asada, Jamaican jerk chicken, and El Pastor tacos, burritos, and bowls. Served with island-style beans and rice with all the sides. Rasta Taco is located in Laguna Beach. RastaTaco.com. One love in every bite.
If you talk to us, not only will we listen, we might put you on the air. Try out the new Talk to Us feature on the 88.5 FM mobile app. Just search the App Store for 88.5 FM SoCal. You're listening to a DJ residency, an hour of hand-picked songs from a new artist every month, each Saturday night at 6. The Independent 88.5 FM's Artist in Residence.
disco. I do.
Well, there's so many, it seems.
I had your record. It's very good because you sent it to me because I demanded to hear it as your ex-boss. Send me that bloody record. And you did.
Do you hear any
disco? It's good. Do I hear what?
Do you hear any disco in it?
No, I hear some nice songs on it.
Yeah.
Good songs, yeah. Disco, no. I didn't think that. You'll be glad to hear.
So yeah. What makes something inherently disco, do you think?
Mind-numbingly, repetitively dull, idea-free, lyric-free, sort of feeling-free.
Interesting.
Yeah, I tell you what, the thing about disco
sounds
music,
like a challenge.
And it's why I never went to a disco, is that it's loud. And you can't hear yourself think. Mm-hmm. That's what I really dislike about it. And if you did want to say to somebody, hello, you've got beautiful cheekbones, or something like that.
Yeah.
You can't. Because
they
can't.
You have to yell it?
All they do is they see somebody and their lips are moving.
You have to be very sure about what you're going to say to somebody if you're going to say it at a disco. Because you got to yell it across the room. There is something to be said about being able to sing something that does sort of wash away the intensity of what's happening of the time, right? Like
that's what Huxley had to say in A Brave New World. Mm. He said there's a great deal to be said for Somar, which is the drug that they gave to everybody all the time. It was their version of Xanax or whatever, or Valium or whatever, Mother's Little Helper, just to make sure everybody was just happy all the time. Mm. Well, not necessarily happy, but mind-numbed. The important bit is the numbing of the bits that actually feel things, mm-hmm. apart from woo-woo-woo, boom-boom-boom-boom-boom. Apart from a few neighbours, obviously, who can't drive. Nobody can live anywhere in our disco. Imagine having to listen to that every bloody night. You know, you'd go crazy, wouldn't you? Or maybe you wouldn't. Or maybe, I've no idea. I don't really care, to be honest. I think what's fascinating about you getting me on the radio is that you've picked the one sort of subject that I don't really care about.
Honestly, that's the reason to have you here.
We wanted to hear what
it's more interesting to talk to somebody who's not fully in the spirit. In the Christmas
you have
spirit.
No disco spirit.
But I'm not sure that there is anything that makes me want to dance, you know.
Right. Well, that's so interesting to hear you say that, though, because I think of songs like Another Brick in the Wall and Money as dance songs.
Are they? Okay.
Well, they make you want to move.
They make you want to move, for sure.
Well, okay, good. That's good. Songs that might make me want to move would be more like... but for all kinds of other reasons, like, for instance, I forgot her name, red-headed woman, probably a bit younger than me, but not a lot, plays the guitar, great singer.
Bonnie Raitt
made a great version of Tennessee Waltz with Norah Jones. Mm-hmm. It's on YouTube as well. That might make me want to like, but partly because it's beautiful waltz, partly because, and also because it's a beautiful song about unrequited love, or about it's about betrayal, isn't it? Yeah, it's about betrayal. It's about the transience of romance and whatever.
So let's take a listen to Tennessee Waltz, the version by Bonnie Raitt and Norah Jones, right here on the Independent 88.5 FM.
With my baby, to the Tennessee walls when an old friend I just happened to see. I introduced her to my loved one.
Part of our careers to sing your songs, and that one song, Great Gig in the Sky, every night on tour, you know, and you've always loved and cherished big female vocals. It's always been a part of your sound. Obviously, Claire Torrey doing Great Gig in the Sky is an example of that, even though that was Rick's song.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about how that song came to be and what made you choose, you know, these powerful, big vocal sounds for your songs?
Well, if you want that story, you can have it. What happened? I gathered the chaps together one day in Nick Mason's kitchen. He was living in a flat somewhere in Highgate, up on a story somewhere, and we sent round the table, go on then, because I said, I've got an idea to make a new record. So I told them my idea for Dark Side of the Moon. Why don't we make a record that's about all the worries, if you like, or concerns or that impinge upon us just in the everyday world? And part of it was, just to divert from Great Gig for a moment, was money. I'd been sitting on the tube, and I'd looked up, and above me, I saw an advertisement for Pittman's, which was a postal college that taught you to be a shorthand secretary, to do write shorthand. And in shorthand, it had written, get a good job with more paper week. It said it, but in shorthand. And I read that. And that was why I went home and wrote Money.
Hmm.
Because it was sort of, to see that right in your face when you're sitting on the tube train going to college or whatever it is, wherever you're going, it doesn't really matter, was sort of a bit like a kick in the teeth. Get a good job with more pay per week and you're okay. The idea being that if you can do that, you're all right. Why did I bring Money up? Oh, so there we are, sitting at Nick Mason's fair. And I said, yeah, like, money and the control that the need to acquire money in order to put food in your mouth. It used to be, you know, years and years ago when we were all primitive, that we either hunted something or picked some berries, or we then got agrarian and started growing wheat and this and that and the other. But we were attached to the means of production of what kept us alive. And now we're not. Now we have to go to somebody who's got money to pay us so that we can afford the basic essentials and keep a roof over our eyes, i.e. we buy our human rights. So that's one thing. Money is obviously hugely important. Right? And anyway, to get to the Great Gig in the Sky, I said, death is a primary concern to most of us. At some point in our lives, somewhere between the moment we're born and the moment we die, we have a gulp moment when we go, me, I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I was about 13. I remember how it frightened the life out of me. Mm-hmm. For am I afraid of dying? Yeah, a little bit. But more than Terry the doorman, who later on when we were making Dark Side of the Moon, I also had this idea to get the voices of ordinary people speaking about their experience of life and to make it a bit more inclusive, which is why I devised all the questions to ask people. And Terry, who was the Irish doorman at Abbey Road Studios, and why he famously, and it's on the records, and I am not afraid of dying anytime I do, you know, and all of that. So, And those voices are kind of... But Rick had this chord sequence that he didn't really know what to do with. And I said, well, what is it? And he played it. And I went, that's great. So I gave it a title. I said, let's call that The Great Gig in the Sky. And we can pretend it's about death. Or about the unknown, or about the almighty, about anything that you want, but something transcendental and metaphysical and whatever. And that's how the record was sort of put together, was like me coming up with ideas about how, and I wrote most of the songs, but that one I didn't. And Us and Them, which is the other thing that I didn't write on the record, which is something that Rick had written for a film we made the film score of called Zabriskie Point. And it was just another piece of piano that he had. So that's Us and Them, isn't that? That's it. That's the piano piece. It was in the film. It was put to some footage of students rioting in Berkeley sometime in the early 70s. So then we had this piece of piano recorded, and I've no idea who said, let's get somebody in to sing over it. Alan Parsons said, oh, I know this backing singer who can sing a bit, blah, 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 sorry. All right, great. And so we got her in. Well, go on then. And she did or didn't go on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, could you make it a bit more this or that or something or other? And I, you know, there we were, all in number 3 at Abbey Road with Claire. And she did not very few takes, maybe 2. And we went, all right, thank you very much, and gave her a 60 quid, and that was the end of it, until she sued Ruth for half a million quid.
Till it takes me.
Hi, this is Lucius on our Disco DJ Takeover right here on the Independent 88.5 FM. You just heard our new song, Dance Around It.
World premiere!
And just before that, Pink Floyd's Eclipse. We have Roger Waters in the studio with us here.
After having talked through some of this disco stuff, I'm seeing why you're sort of not into it, because you are the type of person that likes to face those heavy things and cut them open and look at all the insides and all of that, and disco is more like the escapism thing. I mean, what is something that you do find escapism in, or do you?
Well, you mentioned it earlier, you know. But as I'm, you know, part masochist, I watch the Mighty Arsenal get slaughtered almost every other Saturday of my life. And there's a exquisite kind of misery in following a sports team, which is completely mindless. Unless you're interested in the ballet of the game, if you like, or the athleticism of it, or the whatever. So I guess that's a sort of similar thing. So that I can understand much better than the idea of going to a club. And one of the first big gigs that we did as a band was in the Albert Hall in London. And the very first song that we did in the Albert Hall was my song, one of my songs called Grantchester Meadows. And it started off with me playing an acoustic guitar and singing on my own.
Wow.
Exactly. Mm. Isn't it weird how we remember lyrics when we write songs?
Yeah. They're just stored in some part of your brain that...
Yeah.
There's so many times when we play gigs where I think, I'm going to forget all the words, and then I think, no, I'm just going to open my mouth. And I do, and they come out. Mm. It's crazy.
Exactly right. Yeah, that happens to me all the time.
And sometimes the more... Sometimes the more you play them, the sort of... I mean, they're embedded in you, but also, strangely, you can forget them more when you've played them. I feel like some of the songs we played the most are the ones I forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is Roger Waters, and you are listening to Lucius on The Independent.
In the middle of the night, when you're in the dark, do you think about me and you and why it wasn't ours? Turn the lights down if you wanna see what it's like to turn every moment to a memory. I just wanna lie with you. Teach me how to bend the truth. Just need you now. We both know how it ends. There's nothing to figure out. Do I really need a reason if I have no doubt? Until nothing is left, so let's just pretend for now. If you have to try to love me, that's the way it's gonna be. Well, it's